I want you to get your Bibles out, and I'm going to talk to you for just a little while. And remember, I have promised you that I will dismiss by 8 o'clock. We won't put more than an hour in, and so you're about to hear the quickest sermon you've ever heard me preach in your life. But I think you've already seen a sermon tonight. You've seen some dedicated people. You've seen Thanksgiving, where we're truly thankful for something that God's done. And let me say again, Mrs. Young, thank you so much for all your hard work. Mrs. Owens, thank you so much for being a good kisser. For helping us with the piano. And Sarah, again to you, thank you for the years and years of service. And I really, really do and honestly appreciate it. Turn to Psalm 150. Now, I'm going to use a good handful of scripture tonight, but I'm going to ask you to turn to this one. I call the sermon, "We Are Thankful for the Music of the Piano." We are thankful for the music of the piano. Psalm 150 verse 4 says, "Praise him with the timbrel and dance, praise him with stringed instruments and organs." Father, bless us now. Help me in this short amount of time to teach the word of God. Might we leave here tonight challenged and encouraged and inspired. And Holy Spirit of God, take the simple sermon and use it to get glory to thyself. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The word piano does not show up anywhere in the Bible. The piano, though, is considered a stringed instrument. If you've ever lifted the top of the cabinet of the piano, you'll look down inside it and you'll see the strings. Now, the stringed instruments are mentioned very, very often in the Bible. In the Bible, there was an instrument called the dulcimer. And it's used often in the Bible. Now, the dulcimer was an instrument that they didn't pluck like a guitar, but they would strike the string. And probably from this instrument called the dulcimer, you see the evolution of the piano. Because a piano, when they hit the key, there's a striker that strikes the string. And that's what the dulcimer was in the Bible. So it's different than a guitar, if you will. Now, the invention of the piano, I really do believe that God was in on it. It is used so much for the service of God. And the piano is a stringed instrument. Of course, it has a keyboard. The strings are, they've been made from a variety of things through the years, but they're virtually made of steel, if you will. They're very, very strong. Again, if you've ever seen the string of a piano, they're very taut or very solid, very strong. The first piano was probably, and I did a little history research on it, it started out as a clavichord. Then it evolved into a thing called a harpsichord. Which, of course, you see the word harp there. The word harp is used throughout the Bible, going back to the fact that it has to do with a stringed instrument. So it went from probably the dulcimer to the clavichord to the harpsichord, and then to what they called, that the piano originally was called a pianoforte. The word piano meaning the instrument, forte having to do with the fluctuation of loud and soft. And they would play the piano, and depending on how hard they would hit the key, which would strike the string, it would have something to do with the loudness or the softness of the piano. And originally it didn't have a sustain pedal on it. The original piano was quite small. It was created in Venice. And a man, I'll try to say his name properly, his name was Bartolomeo Cristofori, and he's from Venice, and he invented the piano originally for wealthier families. They wanted a musical instrument that was kind of a combination of the harp and a combination of the dulcimer, but they wanted it to be a little small, and so they could keep it in their home. It was written, the pianoforte, if you will, was invented in 1698. Now, the very first piano had 54 keys, and I think, if I'm right, the piano of today has 88 keys. Does that sound right? 88 keys. Now, there are 52 that are white and I think 36 that are black, but don't quote me on that. But now, again, I want to go back to the fact that the piano would find itself in the category of what we call stringed instruments. And so that would mean if the Bible talks to us about the stringed instruments, since the piano is in that classification what God would teach us about the stringed instrument, then God would be teaching us about the piano. So stay with me. I just went through the Bible. I looked and studied every time the Bible talked about the stringed instrument. And I asked myself, what is God teaching us about the modern day piano? So number one, I want to say, first of all, we are to praise God on the stringed instruments. Again, in Psalm 150, verse 4, it says, praise Him, and it says, praise Him with stringed instruments. The piano definitely is one of the ways that we can praise God. I think every song that you heard played from the beginning tonight when Sarah was doing the prelude to the point where Hannah was playing her special to the point where Brother Hollinger and Hannah, they were sharing up here and playing, every one of those songs were songs that praise God. And the Bible says that we are to praise God on or with the stringed instruments. And I believe this. I believe all instruments were created for the purpose of praising God. And if there's an instrument that doesn't praise God, I don't see any use for it. You say, well, wonder if man wanted to create something. Well, man ought to realize that music was originally created to praise God. So, number one, we're to praise God on the stringed instruments. Number two, we are to sing with the stringed instruments. Listen to Isaiah 38:20. It says, the Lord was ready to save me, therefore will we sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. So, you say, well, you know, we sing to the piano and somebody dreamed that up. Well, that somebody that dreamed it up is the Bible. It's God. The Bible very clearly teaches here that they sang to the stringed instruments in the house of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I don't know if you've ever noticed it. But you know what that's teaching? That is a stringed instrument. And when we sing, there's power in the blood. We're praising our God to or with the help of the stringed instrument. So this thing of having a piano play while we sing is scriptural. Now there are a few religions that used to say, oh no, you should never have a piano in the house of God. I think you should always have a piano in the house of God. Quite the contrary, you say, based on what? Well, based on Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 20. Hey, look, a church service without a piano can get very dull. And I do not think we're to worship music. I think music can help us to worship. But I will tell you this, there's something that a piano adds to a church service that is special and unique and powerful. And I might say again, it's Thanksgiving 2015, and this whole night is all about we are thankful for our pianist. Now I'm telling you, I'm thankful, according to the scripture, for the piano in our church. I said, number one, we're to praise God on the stringed instruments. Number two, we are to sing with stringed instruments. Number three, good music paves the way for God's Holy Spirit and the presence of God. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 15, it says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You know what that says? Somebody began to play the stringed instrument. And the Bible says, and God came. And God came. Proper music, proper piano music prepares people's hearts for God to come and meet with them. Good music works with the Holy Spirit in regard to the presence of God in a service. And boy, have we not seen that time and time again. You come into church and somebody sits down at the piano and a couple voices get up here and they begin to sing and you watch the Spirit of God in a powerful way take over. I'll look out There are people sitting in their pews with tears running down their face. Brother Nossinger's back here in the corner waving his hand and his Bible. He's got a big old smile on his face like a possum eating honey, and he's got tears running down his face. What's happening? The stringed instrument ushered in the presence of God to help take the service to a new level. And that is exactly what 2 Kings 3:15 is teaching. So, number one, we are to praise God on the stringed instrument. Number two, we're to sing with the stringed instrument. Number three, good music paves the way for God's presence. And let me tell you something. You don't have to have all this wild rock and roll honky-tonk kind of Christian music. God will come with good, godly, wholesome music. I have no interest in going the modern route. I'm going to stay with the old-time religion, and I want to stay with old-time religion music. And might I say this to you? The ladies and the men that sat at that piano bench will have a certain testimony. As someone said to me, I know somebody that can really play. I want to know, can they really live? Because you're just having musical ability does not impress me, but you're having music ability and loving God and reading your Bible and coming to church and being separated from the world and living right on the property and off the property and having a decent testimony, that means all the world to me. I know churches that give up their standards to have a pianist. I will not have a pianist if I can't find a pianist that will live right. Now, I just happen to have a good handful of ladies, and these people, these ladies that we're honoring tonight, are good, godly, wholesome ladies. They go soul winning. They're faithful to church. They love God. They love their husbands. Mrs. Owens does, right? Okay. But I'm just here to tell you that this thing of the piano paves the way. That music, it's an enticement for the Spirit of God to interject Himself into the power of a service. Number four, pianists should play a quality that would be deemed as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. Listen to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 5. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps, and there's a stringed instruments, and on psalteries and timbrels, and on cornets and on cymbals. Notice it says, before the Lord. Now, so you understand, when they were playing before the Lord. But I don't want you to misunderstand. God was not physically there. But as they played, they knew they were to play as unto the Lord. The Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Now, this is talking about a quality. And let me say to everybody here, everything that we do, I'm not to serve in the church as unto you, and you're not to serve in the church as unto me. I am to serve as unto the Lord, and you are to serve as unto the Lord. Look, if you serve around here at a quality to please the pastor, thank you for that, but God's getting cheated. You ought not be serving at the quality of a man, but serving at the quality of a God. Everything you do. You say, well, preacher, you don't deserve that I do this job right. You're probably right, but your God deserves that you do everything right that you do for Him. You shouldn't be taking shortcuts on God. You ought not say, well, this is average and it's good enough. No, you ought to want God to get above average. God doesn't deserve your leftovers. God deserves the best. God deserves that everything that we do be done right and high quality, because we serve a holy God. When I go into churches and everybody, they're rinky-dink about everything they do, I think, who in the world are you serving? You ought not serve God with that attitude. If it's worth doing right. And may I say, I'm not talking about musicians. You have to be professional, but you ought to be well-practiced. You say, well, we didn't quite get it. Then practice longer and put more time in and make it so it's for God. You say, well, we're all satisfied. We're not supposed to satisfy each other. We're supposed to satisfy the God of the universe. And it ought to be done right. I think it's a sad thing that rock and roll musicians will put so much time into it, make their hits, and make themselves sound to the world so good, and then church pianists and church musicians will maybe practice, maybe not, maybe care, maybe not, And we wonder why the world looks at us and laughs sometimes. Yeah, I would like to groom a group of people that will put music on that is as unto the Lord. It's funny, you can find preach down inside one of these little simple Thanksgiving sermons. But I think a piano and a pianist should play with the quality as unto the Lord. Why? God deserves honor, and God deserves glory, and God deserves, He deserves that kind of playing. So, number one, we're to praise God on the stringed instruments. Number two, we're to sing according to the Bible with the stringed instruments. Number three, good music and good stringed instrument music paves the way for God's presence in a service. Number four, a pianist should play with a quality as unto the Lord. Number five, pianists should put their heart into their music. They should put their heart into their music. Listen, 1 Chronicles 13:8 says, And David and all Israel played before God with all their might and with singing and with harps. There's a stringed instrument again. Notice it says all their might. All their might. Again, I go back to, I think it ought to be done with vigor. I think it ought to be done with drive. I think it ought to be done with an appropriate aggression and a passion. There is nothing like someone that when they do what they do, you know their heart's in it. We live in a society of lazy, uncommitted, uninterested, so-so. You know what I'd love for some of you to do? I'd love for you to go home, get your dictionary out, and cut the word average out and burn it. It's time for God's people to stop being satisfied with average. God deserves the best. And I'm not talking about you and I inappropriately competing with one another. I'm talking about all of us giving God what God deserves. And I believe a pianist, according to this, these that were playing with David and playing their harps, they were playing it with all their might. All their might. Let me go on. Number six. There will be stringed instruments in heaven. In heaven. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, you'll immediately recognize the fact that this is in reference to, it's got that heavenly end time language to it. It says, "And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over the mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Do you realize that those that had victory, that are standing before God at this glorious moment in spiritual history, the stringed instruments are being played. They're being played. What are the stringed instruments? Now you've got the dulcimer. Now you've got the harp, if you will, and very possibly the piano as well, because it is a stringed instrument. And you know, I can picture being in heaven and there being beautiful pianos and people setting and playing the stringed instrument when we get to heaven. But here, the stringed instrument is in heaven, and they're playing the stringed instruments in heaven. So you know, I'll promise you, it's appropriate music. You know, it's not going to be Elton John playing the piano in heaven. It's not going to be like that. The Bible says we are to praise God with the stringed instrument. The Bible says then with the stringed instrument, we are to sing. The Bible says that the stringed instrument used properly paves the way for the Spirit of God to take a church service almost from an earthly level to a heavenly level. The Bible teaches us that a pianist and anybody that is involved in the music of the church, they ought to perform it as unto the Lord, not at man's quality, but at the quality that God deserves. And you say, well, not everybody can do that. You listen to me very carefully. The difference between average and above average is not talent. It's character. It is practice. Here's a word that we don't like today. Work. Work. Hey, some of you young people, you say, I'm going to learn to play the piano. We'll find out what you're made of. Today, people want to quit what's not easy. Oh, but I'm telling you, that quality should be as unto the Lord. And then we're to put our heart into it. And then, The stringed instrument, according to the Bible, is going to be in heaven at a moment where there is a great victory taking place in heaven. It actually says all these, and I get the impression that everybody that was a part of the victory, it says having the harps of God. I don't know. Maybe when we all get to heaven, we're all going to play an instrument. They're going to have harps of God. Jonathan, you'll probably play the tuba. As unto the Lord, I really want you to give it what you got, all the way from down deep. But somehow, they are praising God with instruments, and it seems like everybody had an instrument at that moment to glorify God. The next thing I want to say, and I've got 6 minutes, so listen carefully. Number 7, the stringed instruments help with depression. Stringed instruments help with depression. I don't have time to read all the scripture, but in 1 Samuel 16:16, this is a story about David and Saul. In 1 Samuel 16:16, it says, "Let our Lord now command thy servant, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp." Of course, a harp is a stringed instrument. Basically, it is in the family of the piano. It says, "And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Now, if I read to you all the scripture around this, Saul was going through a season of depression. It was recommended to him that he find someone that could play a stringed instrument, that they come and play godly music to him on the stringed instrument, and they called David. David came, and the Bible says the suppression, the negative, if you will, the depression fled away from him as a result of the use of the stringed instrument. I believe this. I believe this very strongly. I know some of the pianists sitting in this room. And I know Mrs. Owens has told me this. She'll say, "Honey, if I'm having a low spot, if I've had a rough day, if something has kind of quenched my spirit," she'll go, she'll sit down at that piano, and she'll start playing. And it helps her. So some of you pianists, I think you know this. You go and you play your piano, and it soothes the spirit. It has a soothing effect. But folks, you and I know it. You're out there in that negative, nasty, filthy world. And you can walk in, you hear the pianist playing, you hear the music of God, and what will it do? Before long, you've forgotten about that negative, nasty world. You've forgotten about how bad it was at work today, and how, you know, your neighbor's dog dug up all your flowers today. You've forgotten about that negative news, and what's happened? The Spirit of God has taken the instrument of God and the music of God, and he's done a work on the inside of you. For some of you that are going to learn to play the piano, let me tell you something. You do it as unto the Lord, but I'm going to make you a promise. It's going to help you. It's going to become an asset to your spirit. And I'll tell you this also. Wrong music adds to your depression. Right music pulls you out of the depression. I'm just sure of that. I am just sure of that. Good music can help depressed people. People don't realize this. I've counseled thousands and thousands of people. I probably shouldn't say this publicly, because it is a technique of my counseling. There are times when I have found people that struggle a lot with depression, and I try to get them involved with a musical instrument. And I'm not talking about wild rock and roll, honky tonk, and all that sort of stuff. I'm talking about good, godly music. But I'll recommend that they get in the choir. I'll recommend they get in a singing group. I'll recommend that they learn to play the piano. I'll recommend to everybody here, if you'll listen to the right kind of music on CD and with your iPod, is that what it is? If you'll listen to the right kind of music, it will increase your spirit, and it has a way of driving the depression out of your life, or to the outer edges of your life. Tonight, all I wanted to do at this Thanksgiving service is to say, thank God for the pianist in our church, thank God for the music of the piano, and thank God for the scripture that teaches us about it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, take the sermon of tonight. Take the music of tonight. Get glory to thyself with it. Lord, the people that we've given a little attention to tonight, help them to know that their pastor appreciates them and the congregation appreciates them. Thank you for the energy and effort that's been even put into this night. And Lord, we want to behave ourselves musically down here in a way that glorifies you. And that way it's an easy transfer, an easy transition into heaven. We can just go right into heaven with the same type music and the same type glorification that you deserve. We want to come there and do it right. Now help everyone here to have a good Thanksgiving. I pray that somehow they would say it was worth being here tonight. We've heard a sermon. We've seen the sermon, the lives of people who serve you in music. Now, again, help all of us to be grateful and thankful for all you've done for us. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Now, Father, as we have a brief time of invitation, I pray that you'll use it for yourself, please. Folks, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet for just a moment. I'm just not going to close out without a moment of altar call. If you need to come to the altar, you come. If you have a burden, you come. If you just want to come thank the Lord for something. And some of you, there's some of you, you used to think you ought to get involved, maybe with the piano, maybe you should try it. You say, well, there's 15 of them already in our church. I'd like to have 50 of them in our church. If you never played in the church service, fine. Just what it could do for you and your family, I promise you would be incredible. The altar call won't last long. When we're done tonight, I wish you'd turn to the pianist and thank them. You even seen some of the ones that are already play piano and some that are developing the ability to play piano. Hey, encourage them. Encourage them. One more time through the song, if you will, Sarah. I want to say again to those that have helped to donate pianos, thank you. I want to say to those that are working toward learning to play piano, thank you. Keep it up. I want to say to our primary pianist, thank you. Thank you for what you do. Those of you that help with the choirs and the music, thank you. Thank you very much. I know it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of effort. To those of you that live in the house with a pianist, God bless you. God bless you. My heart goes out to you. Amen. And thank you, Sarah. Let's do this. Let's give a nice round of applause to our pianist.